Today, as we come to the table...
What do I mean by that? Stumbling. Look, the church is open to everyone. Warts and all, as we say. As a matter of fact, one of the functions of the church is to be a spiritual hospital. Many of you came to the Lord that way. We come hobbling in, beaten to death by the world, and saying, hey, is there any hope for me, and does anybody love me? Do I even have a reason to live anymore? The answer is absolutely. There's tremendous hope because Jesus died for you so you can go to heaven. And if you believe it, you have all of eternity to celebrate and rejoice. There's great hope and joy that lies ahead of you.
Many churches have established a culture of perceived perfection. If you want to come in, you need to look the part. Often this involves the clothes you wear. For men, if you don't have a suit jacket and tie, or for the ladies, a dress, then you'll stand out like a sore thumb. It's not that there's anything wrong with dressing up, but this can be harmful in the church when it creates an environment that makes the broken feel unwelcome. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will explain in today's message, one of the church's chief functions is to be a spiritual hospital or shelter for those who have been beat up by sin and are in need of help. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as he continues his message, an effective gospel.
If I just back up and say, Lord, what am I doing? I'm getting back in my own flesh here. You take it. You be the leader. You, by your Spirit now, fill the sails and do what you want to do in my life and the life of others as you use me. And see, that's exactly the same thing that the Lord will do with you. Go to the Lord and say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I need your power. You fill me with your power. I want you to guide my ship, not only empower it and fill the sails so I can go somewhere, but direct it. Take the rudder. Lead me where you want me to go. And so what Paul is saying is, we didn't just tell you about Jesus. We demonstrated his power through the work of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, validates the message. Note that. It's God's power that validates the message. You see, anyone can say they have a spiritual message from heaven, but it takes power to back it up. And that's exactly what Paul is declaring that he did with them. You know, a lot of people say they have a spiritual emphasis in their life. You know, I was listening again just this week to these different spiritual leaders they have on the radio, and they talk about a lot of the stars and famous people that have this person or that person giving them counsel, and they revere these people as these great spiritual leaders, and they have all this great insight and whatever. Here's the bottom line. If there's no power in their message, if it's just like a nice saying, but there's no real power, what good is it? And likewise, this morning, if I'm sharing with you about Jesus' death and resurrection and the fact that he loves you and the fact that he can save you from your sin and give you eternity, if there's no power backing that up, what good does it do? There has to be the power to make this thing go. Again, you think about, you know, a train, unless you have some, the old steam engines. You know, I worked at Dollywood for a while. Actually, it was at that time, it was Silver Dollar City. Some of you remember back when it was Silver Dollar City, and I worked at Silver Dollar City the year before it became Dollywood, and I was one of the actors on the train. And if you've been on that particular thing, they probably do the same thing with Dollywood now. You ride the train, and they stop the train, they have this show, and we would rob the train and do this whole thing and just be, you know, this whole amount the whole time. And I remember how amazing it was in that old, you know, coal-fired engine. You know, you're going down through there and this thing's just like chugging along and all the smoke, you know, going out the top. If you didn't put coal in that engine, if you didn't fire that engine, if you didn't get any energy in it, that train's going nowhere and the show's over. There is no show, right? Deputy Dugan, who I was, well, I guess I wasn't Deputy Dugan. I was actually Skeeter and Scooter Skank when we did that. I played multiple roles. Deputy Dugan was a different one that hopefully the sheriff wouldn't be robbing the train. But you get my point. But if it wasn't for the steam running that engine, if it wasn't for the coal and the fire, there would have been no show to do. There would have been no train at Silver Dollar City, and there wouldn't be a train at Dollywood right now. There has to be something driving the engine. And so that is what the Holy Spirit is to your life as a believer. If you're nothing but a train, and even if you're on track, note this, you've got the Word of God and you're on track. If you don't have any power to push that thing down the track, what good is it? Let's say I know all the Bible. I'm an expert in theology. If there's no power behind that, who cares? It will have no effect. The coal for our steam engine as a Christian, or for our fired engine rather, as a Christian, is the Holy Spirit. That is the fire. That's what moves us down the track. And when we're filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, not only do we move down the track, but you can recognize as we're coming. I mean, the Holy Spirit smoke, if you will, is everywhere as God is using us. And so you need to have that power in your life. And so I want to even ask you right now, I mean, as a believer, do you have that power in your life? Do you recognize that power in your life right now? Because as a believer, you should have that power. Now, let me say, if you don't have that power, it could be a couple of reasons. One is you either really never gave your life to the Lord, or you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what do I mean by that? Some people think they've given their life to the Lord because they've gone to church and they've tried to be good, but they've never really met Jesus Christ. They've never truly repented or turned from their sin and committed to Jesus. They simply went to church. You haven't made that relationship with the Lord. You're just being religious. That will not get you into heaven. But then there's the second group, and that is those who have truly given their life to the Lord, but they've never prayed and said, God, come upon me with power now. I need you to take that heavenly coal and fill my engine and set me on fire that I can move this train down the track and stay on track with power. So I would encourage you right now, if you have never seen that power in your life, first of all, challenge yourself, do I even really know the Lord? But if you know you're a believer and you know you've met the Lord, you may want to ask yourself, have I been empowered by the Holy Spirit? Again, that's one of the workings of the Spirit, is to give us power. How do you get that? Ask him. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, come upon me with your Holy Spirit. Give me this power. And so that's something as a believer you should be seeing and should be recognizing in your life. And so if you don't, again, I encourage you today is you need to take action. You need to ask yourself, is my relationship with God real, or have I been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because if it is real, you will be filled with the Spirit as you ask God to do that, and you'll have real power in your life. I think a lot of believers really struggle in their Christian walk because they give their life to the Lord, but they continue on, sometimes for years, in the same sins over and over and over. They think, why can't I be free? Why can't I be delivered from this sin? It's because you need power. I'm not giving you an excuse or giving me an excuse. I'm simply giving an explanation. You need power to be set free. And the only way that power comes is by the power of the Spirit. You cannot walk this Christian walk. You cannot do what God is asking you to do. And you certainly can't be a witness to your friends and the world around you if you're not empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's just human efforts. This is what you saw in Peter. Remember Peter, Lord, I'll follow you. I will not deny you, though everyone else does. And I know he meant it. He knew the Lord and he had a great desire to serve God, but he didn't yet have the power of the Holy Spirit. And then remember at Pentecost, when God poured out the Holy Spirit on the church and from that point on, right there, made it available. Since then, the Holy Spirit is available to us in all the workings of the Spirit. He filled the church. He filled Peter. And here's Peter, the one that denied the Lord and was hiding from the Jewish leaders. He stands up in public in Jerusalem where all these leaders are that want to kill him, and he shares the gospel. I don't care who's here. You need Jesus, and there's power. And you look at him, is this the same guy? Well, yes and no. He's still Peter, but now he's Peter empowered by the Holy Spirit. You need to be that. But here's what his power does. It frees us from sin. It gives us the power to share our faith with others and the power to walk with God, note this, in actions, not just words. Okay, so notice Paul, again, he's saying, it's not just what you're saying you're doing. You actually have the power now to do it. And notice Paul says after that also that his message was with much assurance. Interesting, the word here, assurance, means supreme fullness, certainty, or confidence. And note this, it comes with the idea of conviction. And here really comes in the third element of really what I'm talking about when it comes to the power of the gospel and how it works together. And that is, the first element of it is really the word of God. The second element is the power of the Spirit that makes it effective. And the third element is the conviction, or I would say the result is the conviction that comes from that as you walk with the Lord. That is, you're convicted. And the conviction is what drives you to the Lord to get right with God. It's the result of the word and the Holy Spirit working together in the presentation of the gospel in its full conviction of our sin, which leads to our repentance and salvation. So this full conviction with repentance leads to a true relationship with the Lord. And again, I would ask you this, do you know that you have that today? Do you know that you have this full conviction with repentance so that you know you've met the Lord? See, this is where a lot of people, when it comes to the gospel, this is where a lot of people mess up. They stop short. Maybe they even come forward. You know, when the pastor says, if you want to give your life to the Lord, come forward. We're going to say a prayer. Maybe he says, you know, as you're in your seat, whatever the case might be, giving you an opportunity, even as we will do today. But the bottom line is that people will pray that prayer, but then they don't repent of their sin. They stop short. I don't care what prayer you pray. If you don't turn from your sin, you will not be saved. Jesus approached this numerous times in the Gospels. He said, if you don't repent, you will die in your sin. That means you will not go to heaven. So it's not about a prayer. It's not even about just believing. It's about receiving and taking action, repenting and turning away. And if you don't know that, you need to deal with that. Again, I can say this. People say, I don't know if I know the Lord or not. If you know the Lord and you've met him, you know it. I remember some 32 years ago getting down on my knees in my apartment in Nashville, Tennessee, and just by myself in that room, wasn't any service, I wasn't anywhere, just before the Lord in prayer. And I said, Lord, if I can know you, please forgive me of my sins. I want to give my life. God had convicted me. The Spirit was working. And as I began to pray, I felt the power of God. I said, Lord, I give my life. I repent. I felt the Lord come into my life. I felt his presence in that room. It was as stark as night and day. And I think it's more stark for some people than others because of the lifestyle you come out of. And mine was pretty dark at the time. But there was no way that I had any question as to whether or not I had met Jesus Christ. I knew I had met Jesus Christ. He had entered the room and my heart in power. And if you don't know that, settle it today. Make sure. Don't leave this place without doing that. Again, I'm not talking about not having doubts from time to time about maybe whether God's still with you or working in your life. I think that all of us as believers go through those times of doubt. I think actually, God allows that oftentimes to have those times where we begin to wonder. You know, I think to test our heart. It's interesting. It says about King Hezekiah, although King Hezekiah loved the Lord, there's a very interesting verse about Hezekiah's life. And it says, and God withdrew from Hezekiah to see what was in his heart. Hezekiah hadn't sinned. He was not guilty before God of anything that he would be judged for. God just said, I want to see what's in your heart, Hezekiah. Are you going to love me even when you don't feel me? Are you going to love me even when you can't really see me working in a tangible way? Oh, I am working always. I never stop. I said I would never leave you nor forsake you. But I don't always let you see it. And I don't always let you feel it. And so, are you still going to love me even when you don't see it? Even when you don't feel it? So if you're having doubts, if you're having struggles, that's a normal part of the Christian walk. And I think something that God not only allows, even does from time to time. He doesn't bring the doubt, we do that, but he allows the circumstances and creates the circumstances where doubt can arise so that we'll grow, so that we'll learn to walk by faith and not by sight, and let me add, also not by feelings. But the bottom line is that you need that assurance and to make sure that you know the Lord, because if you know him, you will know that you've met him. And if you don't know that you've met him, you need to make that decision today. Well, Pastor Mark already prayed that prayer years ago, but I'm not quite sure that I really know him. You need to pray it again. You know, again, people come to me oftentimes and say, you know, I was baptized as a kid. Should I be baptized again? And my question is this. When you were baptized, do you know that you knew the Lord? And did you know that your life changed? Was there a true change in your life? And if they say, well, no, there wasn't really a true change, and I really didn't know that I know him. I did it because it was a confirmation class, or it was something that I went through together, or I saw my friends doing it and thought I should do it or whatever, but it never seemed very real. Then yes, you should be baptized again because it probably wasn't real. If it's real, you know it. If it's real, you'll see a change in your life. Not perfection, not that you never sin again, but a new power and becoming more and more like Jesus every day. And you will know and be settled in your heart, I know God and I have my reservation in heaven. Again, you'll have your reservations in heaven, but you'll have no reservations on earth about whether or not you're going there. And that's how a true believer knows they're in the Lord. Notice next Paul says here, at the end of the verse, he says, notice what kind of men we were among you. He says, in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you, notice, for your sake. Now, there's a couple of elements here. That is, Paul says, first here, we lived it out in front of you, which is the very thing that Paul would say that I'm talking about. And we shared the word, we've walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we've lived out our conviction of both in demonstration. So Paul is saying, I'm not just telling you this, I lived it in front of you. Now Paul's going to get more into the example they were before them in Thessalonica and the example they are now to others and how proud he is of them next week. But the reality is, what he's saying this is, the bottom line is, we need to be examples. We need to be those that people can watch and say, you're living for the Lord. You know, when people look at me, I'm a pastor. They don't expect me to be perfect. I've never met anyone that expects me to be perfect. They may have higher expectations than they should because I'm a pastor. But people know innately that even pastors are still sinners. We still struggle. We still need repentance. And so they don't expect perfection. But here's what people do expect from a pastor, and here's what people expect from you and all of us as believers. And that is this: genuineness. Genuineness, sincerity, repentance when we do sin, making it right when we've made it wrong. If we do that, people go, you know what? That's called being a human, but I see your heart. You have the right heart. You're just not perfect like Jesus, and nobody is. And so we have to understand when he says, by what kind of men you saw that we were, Paul wasn't saying we were perfect, we never messed up. He's saying we lived this Christian faith out in front of you so you would see an example, so you'd know how to live it. And also, why did we do this? Not only for their own sake, but notice he says, for their sake. And here comes, again, one of the most basic elements, again, of a true believer. Not an element of the gospel, but an element of a believer after they come to Jesus Christ through the gospel. And that is the desire and the ability to die to self for the sake of others. In other words, they lived in a certain way while they were among them for their sake, so that the Thessalonians would grow and not be stumbled. Guys, note this. We too are to live in a way, the Bible says, around other believers, where we are to be an example of living for the Lord, which we will, again, as I said, look at more in detail next week. But again, that lifestyle in front of others to promote their growth, note that, number one, and number two, to prevent them from stumbling. Again, what do I mean by that, stumbling? Look, the church is open to everyone, warts and all, as we say. As a matter of fact, one of the functions of the church is to be a spiritual hospital. Many of you came to the Lord that way. We come hobbling in, beaten to death by the world, and saying, hey, is there any hope for me, and does anybody love me? Do I even have a reason to live anymore? The answer is absolutely. There's tremendous hope because Jesus died for you so you can go to heaven. And if you believe it, you have all of eternity to celebrate and rejoice. There's great hope and joy that lies ahead of you. And what the church is to do is to bring you in and nurture you and love you and protect you and encourage you and build you up. Now, if you come in the church and you come from an alcoholic background and you stumble in here, well, pardon the expression, but you come in here coming out of that world, and I'm up here, you know, saying, hey, we're all going to meet down at the beer market or whatever and have a Bible study. What does that do to you? It's going to stumble you. So what am I supposed to do? Listen, it's not about the freedom as to whether or not we can have a drink or not as a believer. It's about, am I willing to lay my freedoms down so that my brothers and sisters who stumble in this area will not stumble? Again, there are things I believe we can do in the privacy of our home that we would not do in public, but you can fill in the blank. Whatever we would be doing that may stumble someone else when we're around them. Paul said, when I'm around you, Thessalonians, I lived in such a way that it wouldn't stumble you. For example, they were free to go to the pagan temples and buy some of the best steaks. They would sacrifice all these animals at the pagan temples, and they would sell them at really low prices because they had to get rid of all that meat. And Paul said, look, we as believers are free to do that, but if you're around a believer who stumbles that you're buying your filet mignon from a pagan temple, don't buy filet mignon when that brother or sister is around. Lay your rights down so that they don't stumble. You may be able to buy those fillets when they're not around. You may be able to do whatever. But in front of other believers, don't do it. And what Paul was saying, while we were at Thessalonica, we didn't do anything that could have caused you to stumble because we're called to make sure that we lay down our rights for the sake of others, even as Jesus laid down his rights for us. You know, the Lord didn't have to go to the cross for us. He didn't have to do that. But the Bible says, no greater love does any man have than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. Jesus laid his life down for us, and he set an example to us. We need to lay our lives down for others as well. And so a tremendous principle here in making sure that we are dying to ourselves for the sake of others. Never losing our Christian freedoms, always enjoying our Christian freedoms, but making sure that our Christian freedoms don't cause a brother or sister to stumble. And as I said, next week, we'll get into this into more detail. But as we finish this portion today, I want to say this again, which I said earlier, if God has touched your heart with the gospel for the first time this morning, and the power of the Holy Spirit is now softening your heart, opening your eyes, and drawing you to him, respond to that. And I want to make an appeal that you respond not only so that you'll be saved now and be a part of the family now and be in the kingdom now, but I believe we're running out of time here on this planet. You see what's going on around the world. I see what's going on around the world. And even if the Lord doesn't come back immediately, which I think it could happen at any time in the rapture of the church, we could go to him. Again, I've shared with you a friend that I love very deeply recently going to be with the Lord. I know others that recently have gone on to be with the Lord. All of us will one day go on to be with the Lord. So even if he didn't come back to get us, guess what? We're going to him. We need to make sure we're ready. Are you ready for the return of the Lord? Are you ready? If that trumpet blast sounded today, would you be ready to go? See, that's the question. And if you don't know that you're ready, I'm going to give you a chance to respond right now and get it ready. And again, to remind you, the simple gospel is this. And again, if God is working in your heart with power, you're going to respond to this. That is that Jesus came from heaven to earth to die for your sins. And if you will repent of your sin, that is turn from your sin and receive him as Lord, the Bible says you will be born again. You will gain eternal life in the kingdom of God. And I believe all of us will be with you and us together and the Lord very soon in the kingdom of God, seated around the wedding table, the supper table of the Lamb, if you will, as the Bible describes in Revelation, celebrating with Jesus, breaking bread, passing the bread to each other, eating the heavenly food, rejoicing in the kingdom, and getting ready for the Lord to return to the earth to establish his throne for 1,000 years. We have a glorious future. I want you to be a part of that. We want you to be a part of that. Would you respond today? I can't talk you into it. You have to choose it. And it's got to be from your heart and not just your head. And it's going to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you feel the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, I encourage you right now, respond. Receive it by faith.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. If you missed any part of this broadcast on Come to the Table, or if you want to hear it again, visit thewaymedia.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Again, just visit thewaymedia.net, then click on Come to the Table. You can also join us on Facebook. That way, you'll get the latest information, along with some inspiration and encouragement for your newsfeed. There's a link at thewaymedia.net. Our teachings through these New Testament letters touch on how to have the right mindset about the end times. They also address the value of spiritual growth, even in a turbulent period that the world is going through. You might face some persecution, but how do you go about that with a godly perspective? Paul gives some wise counsel in this book to the Thessalonians. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we'd appreciate your prayers during the study. Pray for our nation and the spiritual state that it's in, and that God would work in the lives of his followers to faithfully pursue him, despite the opposition that may come. Pray that the Holy Spirit would lead those who don't know God to hear this program and find hope in Jesus. We also ask that you pray for all of our listeners to have open ears and soft hearts. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. We hope you'll be able to join us as we continue exploring God's Word the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.